you go. You can listen to the news. You can sleep with the blues on this wonderful, wonderful station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Now, here comes the music.
I actually think it's the first time we have ever, as a cast, sung the theme song together as it was playing. I enjoyed it. I realize, Doug, you're not as familiar. I understand. Yes. But these two people hear it every week, and they chimed in. It was lovely. I'm excited about this. Maybe that's what production meetings are for. Learning the lyrics to songs. I don't know.
Someday you'll try one.
Oh, my God. Hi, everybody. Welcome. We're sorry we are a little late. It's warm. It's very warm here in the Valley of the Sun. There was a production meeting, maybe, or just tardiness all around, but we don't care.
Very important business.
Right. Oh, was there?
It was business meeting.
I'm curious to find out more about this.
I was a witness to the meeting.
My secretary.
You were a witness to the meeting. Okay, yeah. Well, that's exciting.
He made an important note about an important date. It's something... That makes you a secretary.
I think August 28th, if memory serves, will be National Whiskey Sour Day. You'll be celebrating responsibly.
Is that a Tuesday?
I think it is. I made it a Tuesday. Oh, because the actual National
if
Whiskey Sour Day.
If it wasn't, it is now.
It is now.
What's playing? Something's playing.
Your volume's up.
On your laptop? Something was playing, or your phone.
Check your volume. That's okay. Happens all the time.
Check your bell tones, Martha.
Check your battery.
Check your battery.
Volume or something was actually playing.
Some tune was playing, and it wasn't
ours. There's a lot of ads on websites, so I just turn the volume down.
And we have to be very careful with copyrights.
That's a great idea. We should be careful with copyrights.
But we're not.
We are not at all careful
about copyrights.
There's no
in the least.
Follow up on that.
For those of you, if you're watching and listening, because you can also tell when you listen, because you can hear him. here with us again, because, if I'm not mistaken, Marnie had... she's got some work thing going on. I'm not exactly what she's got going on. But again, with us, joining us is the villainous himself, Doug Wilkie, is here. That is a wonderful shirt. That's the color. Look at that on the screen.
It does come up very
God, it's nice.
But it comes out as deep blue.
I know.
It's really green. Well, it's not green.
Are we going to start one of those things? Was it blue or gold dress?
Fuck that. No.
Clayton, thank you for the introduction. You know how much I love
guest
villainous.
And I appreciate, at short notice, I realized it was. Doug informed me while we were in the kitchen as he was learning how to use an ice dispenser.
Yes.
Doug told me that he had done nothing all day but go to Best Buy and was about to fall asleep on his couch. So he resurrected his life and joined us here in studio.
It's like Wilkie Easter right now. No.
Easter. I feel like Joan Rivers when they would call her at the last minute to sub for shows. Regis and
really back then.
Yeah, there was a one crazy time when I guess he was in the hospital or whatever, and then I don't know, it was Kathy Lee or whatever formulation it was at that time. Remember that? I love that story about Joan Rivers. And literally at 5 o'clock in the morning, the other host, Kathy or whoever it was, called in, was like, "I'm sick, food poisoning, whatever." So they literally had no one to do the show, they called her at 6 o'clock in the morning, and she said, "Yeah, I'll be right down."
Did you ever ask yourself, why is Brian Williams always on late night chat shows back in the day when he wasn't disgraced and hiding on cable? It's because he was at 30 Rock. So they would call him all the time from Letterman or
because he was already downtown.
Leno, and be like, "Well, Leno, he was in the same studio there, 30
same
Rock
building."
Like if a guest did it,
so anybody working in 30 Rock, when someone would cancel, they would just hit the button and be like, "Someone in 30 Rock, show up at the Tonight Show."
And Brian Williams was there,
but they still do it with the Tonight Show because they're all in that one build. They're all in 30 Rock, So that's why there's always NBC people available that aren't like, "Why are you doing a talk show?" It's because they're on.
The funny thing is, I noticed that because I watched Colbert almost religiously.
Last night was so good.
Do
you go to church? Not religiously.
Not religiously.
from Arrested Development.
That's funny.
But I do find
that made me laugh like for like six solid weeks.
I find it interesting that on Colbert, who by the way obviously is on CBS, yes, he's peddled through a few of the CBS people here and there, but he's got those NBC people all the time in with him, which I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. No big deal. Because
no
Lawrence O'Donnell was just on, and
that's right.
I figure who else was on, but I don't remember. But and even Noah from The Daily Show was on, and Comedy Central was on by NBC.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's so much. Is anything going on? Have you guys been busy or doing anything? I just was curious if it's been kind of quiet.
Yeah. Oh, is it that time? Like, what have you been doing?
Well, no, I just figured, we know there's a lot going on.
What is LA Confidential? I took a class in conversation. Another one of the funniest lines ever in a movie that just gets, they just walk right by it. Victoria Tennant looks at, no, she's actually the good guy. One of his dates, one of Steve Martin's dates is like, oh, I took a class in conversation. I so stood and applauded in the movie theater. I'm like, that's fantastic.
It's almost a throwaway, but it's there. It's there.
Hi, oh, Mom, you know, my favorite humor is always throwaway humor. The joke that no one sets up that just lands and you just move past.
Yeah.
Do you go to church? Not religiously.
I did that yesterday, and I made Hugger laugh hysterically. We were doing something in the bar.
You have your own Hugger?
No, Anthony Hugger.
Is it the end of every race?
Do they cost a lot?
Not every race. But everybody,
you have to feed them in between races?
But everybody gets a medal. So a Stacy.
As I understand it.
Maybe a strap or something.
I don't know. Did someone say you weren't?
I feel special. So no, it was Stacy, Anthony, and I doing something in the bar yesterday. We'd moved a bookcase, and Stacy just randomly, he's got his little Swiss Army knife, screwdriver, pocket knife, right?
Yeah.
And he's tightening screws, and he says to me, do you think I should tighten these or not? And I said, well, I wouldn't. And he keeps doing it. I'm like, or you can just do whatever you want. And Stacy didn't hear it, but Anthony heard it and just lost his shit. He's like, he doesn't hear it. He's just laughing. So we all just kept laughing. And Stacy's like, well, what? Well, I don't get it. Well, what? I'm like, if you would have turned that screw one more time, you'd have shattered the glass. He just doesn't. He didn't get all that.
If I had a nickel for every time someone said that.
Yeah. Well,
I still wouldn't have a nickel because I don't even know what it means. That. Waiting on that nickel.
Still looking for it. Advice, 5 cents.
If I had a nickel, but I don't.
I don't know what that means.
If I had a hammer.
Oh, can I do a little shout out?
Well, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
To us and Marnie, because I'm here tonight because she's not, but when I was here in...
Did somebody
place of you? Me, sure.
Last time, that was the funniest fucking night. That was
really
so
was.
Much
that
fun.
That goddamn beaver on the side
and
of the building.
That's right. That was the night of the raccoon watch.
It wasn't a beaver.
Oh
it was
my
a raccoon.
God.
Whatever.
Same
rodent.
Same song.
That was. It was just so much fun.
It was
so funny. And by the end of it, remember we had that one laughing fit that was just stopped.
We're not
everything.
Done with this show yet, but
and,
I mean, you don't have booze in yet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, we started the show?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, guys. Oh,
most
it
people.
On?
So fun.
Yeah, so far. Well, the only two.
And Marnie texted me because I forgot at the end. I said it. And because we had done all that. Remember, thanks, Obama. And all that. The surgery and the robot does the surgery and all that. And at the very end, in my drunken stupor, remember the raccoon finally made it?
Yeah. He said, ascended the building.
Raccoon is driving the Subaru. So we had all the lesbian Subaru references. And by the end, we had just combined everything into one.
Oh, that's what, It was just
one.
It was so show goulash. Like
yes,
everything
was
solid one.
That's exactly
show
what it
stew.
Was.
Yeah.
The liquor helps.
Kind of. Oh, so, are you kidding? Of course it does. Well, my hands. Well, now you know why we're here and what's going on. So we'll go around the table and find out what you've been doing. Kat Carlson, it's your turn.
Well, I had a very important business meeting with my husband by reason of homonyms, Jason Carlton.
Oh.
Nice.
Yes. I'm not sure how well this is going to turn out.
Nah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. No, he's got a new job as a brand support manager or something.
I call him a glorified liquor rep, but...
I still don't know what he does.
Oh,
so here's what he does. What he does is he goes around... And his job is to make sure that his products are prominently featured in his accounts.
Oh.
So he's going to come to Cobalt every so often, and he's going to say to me, he's going to say, "Kat, how can we push Jack Daniels? Mm. How can we?
Well, I feel
how
like
can
we should
put
role
that?
Play this
right?" And so then I'm going to say, "Well, how much money do you have to spend?" And he's going to say, well, I have this much money. And I say, okay, well, why don't we do this cocktail and you come in and buy drinks and happy, happy, happy. That's all his job is. It's actually a really good
game. For $500, I'll dress up like fucking Jack Daniels. Is that how that works? Am I using that correctly in a sentence?
I'd almost pay money to see you dress up as Jack Daniels and go to bars.
I'm going to text Jason right
now.
Wow.
That, exactly. We've got your first promo.
We got a mascot.
Yeah. If that thing's got a fan in it, I'm in.
Uh-oh. Now there's stipulations. Yeah. Oh, see.
That's all right.
Well, maybe no fan. I just smell and lose a little weight.
We can put a fan in there. It's fine.
So what's different?
I'm making money.
Wait. Okay.
So that was lovely. I haven't seen Jason in kind of a long time, so I didn't care what the business was. I was happy to see him.
Freshly shorn.
Yeah.
How they think I have to describe it.
Did he buy new shoes somewhere?
No, not shod. Not shod. Shorn. He'd been shaven.
Oh,
I haven't seen his face in years.
Like a horse.
Well, I wasn't sure what she was doing.
According to Garp in the book, every month her father sends her a pair of shoes and her mother sends her a douche. So she's a clean woman who's well shod.
I heard you say that before.
That's one of the funniest sentences. I'm just going to relate funny things from one funny line from everything I've ever done or read. But the best part is she never opened the box. She just put it in a closet, and then one day she opened it up, and she had like 7 million douches and a million pairs of shoes. Well,
shoes will come in handy.
Wow. Well,
sure.
Jenny? I can't remember her name. Her name is Jenny.
But yeah, so his last day at the old hotel was early last week.
I saw that. I'd seen that.
I knew a change was coming.
Like Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, and then... He told me he gave them 7 days. You have 7 days to call me with follow-up stuff, and then we've broke up. We're done.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
That's generous, I thought.
Yeah. Well, especially the fact that hotel, in what, 2 years, had never hired another manager to back him up, and he was filling all of those duties, but not reaping any benefit of any additional money.
And I have this question. It may seem sarcastic, but I mean it in a very real way.
Okay.
There are... legitimate jobs available. Like, there's some middle management awful jobs available at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Truly terrible.
Sure.
But they're available, and they pay well. We don't have any takers. There is a middle management job, truly awful, at a hotel downtown. Now, there's two, because they never replace the one and not the second one. But these jobs are available. Why are there no applicants for these jobs?
Because they are... awful jobs.
I know, but like if there but truly think, is a problem with I need money, like it pays well. Like it's not the job. It's not the pay that's the problem. It's the responsibilities that's awful. But the pay is quite.
I
nice.
Think the problem with middle management is the people that would perform the job really well know better.
And are odds on
going to make more money doing something else. Like, bar and restaurant is a really great example.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to ever be a bar manager because there's not enough. Right. Because it's a shit-ass job and there's not enough money. I'm going to make way more money
as the bartender
who knows everything.
And I did.
Right. And I do. Then
where you can pick up shifts, you can save.
You know what else? I have a theory about why. I know why I hated it, but just a theory about middle management in general is that it's the worst place to be because you're responsible for people that are just a headache and a nightmare, and they're late and calling in sick and just all the horrible things.
Right. Staffing is a nightmare.
And the customers clients, patients, whatever it is. And then you have bosses above you that are riding your ass.
That are giving you shit for their metrics. Right.
So it's incoming from every direction. Okay.
Coming at you from both ends and not in the fun way.
Not in the good way.
In the centipede way. Let's call it the centipede way.
And so that's why I did it in food and beverage. And I did it in counseling, you know, healthcare.
Yeah.
And both of them were no. I mean, I did learn a good skill from
but
managing.
You needed a job.
Yeah, oh,
you
I
had
did
a job,
right.
Maybe not the most pleasant. So there's that mismatch. And maybe because our unemployment is truly that low that people can be this picky, but I'm like, there's jobs and they pay okay.
Would you say these are middle management or lower skilled? Or
middle management.
Middle.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean,
that is interesting.
So then the other problem is that
I mean, but
going
there's
to...
not even applications coming in.
Right, nothing.
Management. Like, it's not that, why is this position open? Well, it's because there are just winds of emptiness.
Yeah.
Well, in the position, in the situation Jason just came from what I understand, they weren't even posting to fill his job. They were looking at it like, it's a budgetary thing. Now we're just going to save all this money. You're doing fine, mm-hmm. though your back's about to break.
Yeah, we'll give you some more.
And then what happened is they like to shit when he's like, by the way, this is my resignation. You've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because he said that they were like, huh? They completely didn't know. They were
and
blindsided.
How do you, as an employer, not know this job is shitty?
Right.
Yes. Throw some compensation that way.
Yeah. Someone else did that job.
Dress up this pig.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A little bit.
Well, yeah. The other thing that he did, according to
Carlton,
what...
Carlton is not the pig in the situation.
No, I understand. Right. But again, according to the situation that he was specifically involved with, from what he said, all of his numbers that he... Like, the time that he was there for sales and for events and for sale, like, all that stuff, all were way up from what previously had done.
Yeah, of course.
And he got, you know, attaboys from upper management for that, but he never got anything else.
Yeah. Exactly.
Free parking.
Of course, he did a great job because he's great at that. At anything.
And he knows, and he can schmooze, and he knows everybody.
But all he got was platitudes and not any like money or anything that you.
So he moved on.
I'm going to argue my own point here, and I will tell
you. I thought it'd be fun to watch.
Right. That a lot of times.
Who will be playing the part of you in this scenario?
Due to my versatility and no lack of range, I'll be playing both roles.
Okay.
People say I can still play late teens. I say no, early 20s.
Tonight, the role of Al Perkins will be played by
Al
Perkins. This is surprising.
How many
surprising
filters? Twist. We need more filters.
Yeah.
Oh my God! The doorbell has rung.
Pizza's here.
My phone is going off. I'm gonna. I wish I could.
The pizza man is here.
My phone is only going off because the pizza man is here.
So, not to interrupt Al's story, but
please do. Oh, look! There's the pizza man. Look, the pizza man.
Oh, hello, pizza man.
He doesn't give a shit.
I'm excited about the pizza man.
Oh, look! He did my doorbell chime. Isn't that exciting? I hear that when people come to my door. This I'm going to decline it.
This is the best radio show.
Yeah, this is really
ever.
It. Yeah. It will not stop me from reading porn to the blind. I tell you that much.
Look at all the good you do.
All that. Anyway, go ahead.
Madness. So clearly, the rest of my life is now t-shirts.
Yes.
Eagerly awaiting the new Cobalt.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to ask.
Soon.
Oh, I do have one question.
Yes.
I saw the post of the wall, the projection screen wall.
Mm-hmm.
What are the dimensions of that wall?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me or you don't know?
Neither. I won't tell you.
Oh. I see your game.
Yeah.
Because I question some wording in the post of that. Of that post. And so I'm like, oh.
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I own measuring devices. I can come in for a happy hour.
You don't want
hour.
To know what's in your bedside table.
I can come in at a happy hour and do my own investigation. Yes.
That's all right.
I want to know what you've been talking about, but back to me.
The size of a projection screen.
I'm not even caring.
That war will continue.
So in your job.
Oh, no, I instigated that bitch. I was like.
Oh, you bitch.
I sure the fuck did.
God damn it, Kat. Keep your enemies closer.
There needs to be a nice balance between
we're back to you.
Proper compensation
and
also telling someone that they're doing a good job and acknowledging the job they're doing.
Sure.
Did you get this from the pizza guy?
No. Yes, I did. We just chatted. I said, good job, sir. And he said, I like my job more now. And then I brushed out the tip because I thought,
well, look at you.
Did you ask him how he felt about middle management?
We had a lengthy conversation. I'll just recap it. He said, fuck them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Would you like Parmesan cheese?
All right.
And that was it.
That was what he said.
Oh, is it?
Continuing on the middle management conversation, I think there's a lot of places where we can actually just get rid of the middle manager and make executives do more hands-on stuff and mm-hmm. elevate more workers into more supervisor positions and have them meet in the middle, because that is a big problem with the middle manager is that they're just stuck in the middle.
Yep.
And so mm-hmm. your executives don't know what the fuck the people are doing, and the people don't know what the fuck is happening.
Well,
so if there's a way to meet them in the middle in a lot of industries, that's a really good way to go.
I see another thing that happens, and I see this in a lot of the bars, and I bet you will understand this too. Maybe you guys experienced it as well. What I see is, and you decide who I'm talking about, I see owners of bars, and I see management of bars, and then mm-hmm. I see the peons of the bars that do the
work.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Then what I see is, Management, you know, I'm going to make decisions. We're going to do this. And then that manager is off for a day or gone for a day or whatever. And then owner comes through and changes all that shit, doesn't tell manager, and then nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
Now, that's just, that is someone who hired a manager that doesn't want a manager.
Right.
They just want some peon to stand there. And that's when you get into, that's the truly evil part of middle management, is when you make decisions and you have a plan, and then the person that owns the place was always going to do what they wanted. You're just a place filler. That's when you have no value as a human. And that's the people that
haven't entrusted their management.
I don't think it's value as a human. I just think that the position that you've been hired for, you're being undermined continually.
Right.
So you have value as a manager.
And great owners don't do that.
Right.
So I was lucky in my restaurant management job. Z Tejas was it? Yay. Mm-hmm. That owner was really, really great because he had hired good GMs. You know, they were and we had, you know, and then like district managers above them. But the owner, because he lived by our store, because he lived in PB, he came in all the time, but he never did that. And if anyone went to him and said, hey, well, what about whatever? He would say, is Doug the manager on duty? That's what you need to ask.
Right. Yeah.
And he was like, and he just stayed kind of out of it.
You abdicate. And he was like,
delegated.
Are any Z Tay houses still open?
There's two still open. The Tatum and Shea one, which is always kind of the, because it's right there by Paradise Valley, so just the rich people just go. But to them, I think it's like a coffee shop, you know. But it's still there, and the Chandler one is still there.
Oh, okay. So Fashion Square is gone.
Yeah. Yep.
So white women
all
are
of them are gone.
Afloat.
Well, and their rich husbands are keeping us afloat.
Sure. Clearly.
And, so now you're back involved. Okay, good.
So keeping it afloat. I was just there last week, so we had like a little mini reunion. Oh. But that store's, you know, the company, and obviously it's changed and it's, you know, gone through its metamorphosis. But because of that location, that one could just last forever because it's just such a, that community is always going to go to it. So
you're speaking of the middle management topic. Now, I've realized you're building Cobalt. Things are coming. We don't have a date yet.
We're very busy.
Blah, 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 all that stuff.
Soon.
Are you still being asked and pushed and asked to be a manager, or are you holding firm?
You know, never from Jeffrey. Probably because of the way that I react whenever anybody says it near him.
Oh.
Because then I look at him and I say, no, that's the worst job in the world. Isn't it, Jeffrey? I don't want to do that.
Oh, you are a morale builder. You are.
No, because it is. It's. I mean, especially in a small bar like Cobalt, a bar manager is 24/7. All shifts, all times, every day.
Yeah.
So no, I would just end up working every day for not as much money.
No, I get that.
Awful,
yes,
awful.
And then, hi, Nat. Hello, people. She said,
no, people,
hello, people.
What happens is people watch me, like, make decisions and do things and tell my boss what I think we should do, like I should.
Right.
And they go, oh, well, Kat seems on top of her shit. She should be in charge of this place.
Nay, nay.
Nope. No,
nay,
no.
Nay.
This arrangement is working just fine.
I just have a suggestion box.
I have this little position that I do part-time at my job. That's
nurse?
Sub-middle management. No.
that lady nurse?
That's kind of not my full-time
team
job anymore.
Leader?
Right.
I would shift leader.
Kind of. You're kind of like what they would call a charge nurse back
charge
in the day with a little bit. Like
I
a
know
little,
that. What that
a little
is,
bit
actually.
A little bit glorified. But the nice thing I have to... let me turn this off. The nice thing about it is I handle, like, families. I handle throughput. I handle, like, doctor nurse stuff. I handle like how this is all going to happen. But like, let's say you two have a problem with each other. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
No.
And that's what makes me like sub middle management. Like when you're like, Kat's being a bitch today. Well, then you need to work that out like grown ups because that's what you are. And I walk away, and it is like, I won.
Yeah.
That's so.
That's.
But
yeah,
if a family has something, I just come in and they're like, oh, are you in? Nope. But I am the charge, and people know the they know the word charge nurse. It sounds like something. It's not a thing.
Sounds very important.
We don't have
them
in our hospital, but I just made that up as like, I'm the charge nurse tonight. And I'll like talk to a family or talk to people and get them going. But if there's some kind of interpersonal stuff, I'm like, oh, there's a management team in place.
Oh, yeah, there's an HR issue.
Because I don't care if you kill each other tonight.
Yeah.
Just make sure you cover your shift.
And do all your all your charting is done. It's all we need.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please.
I would prefer your charting be done.
Yes.
Because if you don't chart it, it never happens.
Right. We lost track of everything.
No, literally. Like, if you go to a lawsuit, you could have done
That's
all these
so
things.
Funny.
If
I'm
you did not chart
it.
It didn't happen.
That's all they ever said to us in counseling was, did you write that in your notes? No. Then it
didn't
happen.
Over
and over.
If you did not chart it, it never happened.
Yeah.
Back to you, Kat.
Sure.
So, in addition to that, how is the Hey Kat shirt business going?
Oh my gosh, so very exciting and so very good.
Yes.
I have embraced the Native American habit of Sweat Lodge and the hallucinating that goes along with that, because, of course, I've been kicked out to the garage.
Yeah.
I
saw a couple of your pictures that you'd posted where the machine is all
going. Oh, it's lovely.
It's wonderful
and efficient, and I've made good use of classified ads to pick up equipment and things that I need.
Very cool.
But God damn it, it's hot out there. I can't wait for November.
Yeah. As soon as that breaks, you're going to be like, oh, this is Christmas.
Right. It's going to be wonderful all winter long. In the meantime, I feel like I'm losing weight by way of...
So how are you doing it?
Screen printing.
No, the Sweat Lodge.
In a garage.
I'm working all day long in my garage.
Oh, screen I thought you were t-shirts. Really like doing it. No. It is.
What part are you doing and not feeling?
I was employing perhaps hyperbole, perhaps a false equivalency.
Got it. And I wasn't really paying
maybe
attention.
Maybe a little bit of sarcasm because
I get it now.
Like I made like 100 shirts today, like three colors, and they're going to be very exciting for a family thing. But yes, so it's 100 and say it's 105 outside. It's 115 because I've got two heaters.
Yeah.
Easily, yeah. Because I've got two heaters and I'm tucked into a little corner, like surrounded by all this equipment. And
I can't even imagine that.
It's wonderful and warm. But no, it's so much fun. And I feel like I'm
so
busier.
Glad you showered today now that I heard this story.
See? Thank you. I told you.
She told me I can not shower and do this or shower and do this. I picked choice two.
Parenthetically, you want me to shower.
Yeah. She did offer hints as to what the right answer
was. I was in the shower 45 minutes before you all arrived because, again, I was on the rooftop of a building today, and it was... Whew.
I was in the shower just because I was raised right. I don't think I need any other kind of excuse.
Well, and I was running late today anyway because I went and I had to pick up some more shirts that I have to make for tomorrow, and I had to stop by the other supply shop, and they were out of ink, so then I'm standing there talking to the girl while she makes me some, and I'm like, I got a happy hour to get to, lady. It was very close
to... It was a business meeting.
That's why he paid for the drinks.
I was a secretary, so I got a free drink.
Right. He wrote one thing down. He's the secretary.
God, well, that's enough. It's all Marty.
I Googled it. I Googled and I did two things.
Two things.
Wow. Efficiency at its finest.
Yeah, but I did manage to squeeze in an actual shower with soap instead of just jumping into the pool with all my clothes on, getting out, drying off, and coming in.
Hey, that's chlorine. There's chlorine in there. Right. That still works. Mm-hmm. Well, good. No kids are alive. Out. Sharon's good. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Okay.
Sure.
Fat and happy, working on happy, as I always say.
There's that.
You can always get happier.
Well, Doug, can you keep us interested and tell us what you've done in the past week or so?
Well, I don't know how interesting it's going to be. Since when you called me today, or not called, when you messaged me today, I was been doing what I've been doing for the last 8 weeks, which is nothing and just laying around. So,
I completely forgot you have summers off.
I do, and it's never happened in my life.
Well, guess where you're going to be next Tuesday? Right there. Hey. We'll put you there.
Oh, okay. No, you'll be
great.
In this chair.
Right this one?
Yeah, I won't be here.
That'll be that'll be weird.
Gosh.
It's been great. I still have to do some work.
You see all the chairs.
That's sit everywhere. But I've been doing a lot of prep for my courses that I'm going to teach in the fall.
Not for this show. God, you always look bad. I was like, shit.
But I will say this. So I don't know how interesting it is, but it was interesting.
Start working on it now.
It was interesting to me.
Okay.
By going back over and doing the readings, I'm reading all my textbooks again and going through, and it was just... You know, I think I said last time when I was here that you asked me what am I teaching or something, and basically everything I teach is what's going on in the world at the time, you know. Now,
current events, do they call it current events?
Well, they call it criminology and criminal justice, but, you know, between violence in America, race,
ooh,
and ethnicity, and all
that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I actually...
Do you risk a heart attack?
Actually, I can be, because I just finished the book on violence in America and tons of, you know, sexual assault and all this.
Violence in America?
So it was
so much violence.
What was interesting to me is that as I reread everything, I couldn't believe how just timely and like here it is. I was just highlighting away, and I just thought this is going to be exciting to teach this again in a few weeks, you know, in the fall when we start, because it's just everything that is happening now. And then, you know, just the way that they describe the things in the books the theory behind everything and why everything is this way and all this research, it's like, well, we've known this forever, you know, and now I'm just seeing it it's going to be really good representation of, you know, what's happening in the current events. So it'll be a little more interesting for the students, I think, that we can. But I'm going to have some kind of boundary because I don't know how we're going to control things from going off the rails if we start talking about politics in there. But so we'll see.
Can you employ a taser?
That's actually not
a
bad idea.
Just like walk up to people that are out of line.
Just students.
Not one with the little wires that come out. Just one of the ones that stay.
You mean like a cattle? You mean like a cattle prod?
Kind of. Yeah. But I'm thinking a little handheld.
Get your attention.
You just walk up.
I like a cattle prod better than a taser. I think.
Yeah. Well, plus. I mean, you just get to stick them to
it. Right. Well, we can talk about.
Well, because cattle prods are fairly long.
Yeah, you're like 4 feet
long. I'm going to do the line from Tootsie. Can you get me farm equipment retail? I'm looking for a cattle prod. I want to hit him once in the bejubies.
Okay, I don't remember that line from that movie.
When Tootsie decides what he's going to do with Dabney Coleman.
Dabney Coleman.
Cattle prods, retail. No, farm equipment, retail. Again, it's a throwaway line that no one ever noticed.
I haven't watched Tootsie in forever. I need to watch it again.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you always.
I need to do that. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Really, I've been doing nothing.
That's okay.
Just watching TV and movies.
Now, when we have you back
Tons
in the fall, when you're back in school, you're just going to be like, maybe a riveting story of something that you've done.
Maybe. But probably not.
I'm currently working full time and I have no, like, it's just work, TV, movies.
Where are you going to be next Tuesday?
I'm going to be leaving Rhode Island and heading for one of the states I haven't been to, Vermont.
Are you going to P-Town?
Yay, Vermont.
No, I'm just going to Rhode Island with my friends Justin and Kurt.
Oh, okay.
And my friend Caroline, who is in Colorado, she has decided to join us in the beach.
I'm going
to
get
a
glass of wine.
And,
how long are you going on this trip?
I think just over a week.
Okay.
A week. Actually, it's just a week. I think it's Thursday to Thursday. Because I'm currently here now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, according to what we do this show live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Thursday.
Let me check the internet.
Yeah, would you check on that, please? Let me know what day I have to drive you to the airport. I need to know these things.
It's Thursday sometime, and I'm planning on Googling that during the show to find out what time the American Airlines is delivering me. So it's fun because I land in Boston, and I am going to meet up with my friend Raul and have some dinner and wine with him. And because we haven't seen each other, we have been on separate vacations for a couple years. He and I often, he is part of the group of people that I meet up with somewhere for a few days, then leave and go with someone else. So he has not been part of the meet and greet. So I'm going to meet up with him, and then I go to Narragansett and meet up with Justin and Kurt.
Whatever you do, do not get it near a camera.
But I'm mostly going to see Kurt's mother, as I've been told.
Okay.
Because when I was considering coming this summer, they're like, my mother will kill us if you don't. So you have to be on. So that was very nice.
I love a death threat to go visit somebody. Yeah. That's really nice.
We had a good time.
Gotcha.
Not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Because I know there's a dove in that picture. I know there's a dove in that picture.
Our lasers.
Nope. There's a dove.
Okay.
And, so it's been movies, TV, which we'll talk about in entertainment, and work.
Yeah.
And, I think I'm about to call in sick for tomorrow. Yes, I think it's time.
Oh, it's exciting.
Oh, can we be here when you do that? Can you just do it right here live?
I'm going to text it right now.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
My gosh, we're going to witness it.
This is how you get out of work tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, guys. I'm not coming in tomorrow. Goodbye.
Oh, I've been telling everybody. Like, I told everybody all day. I'm like, there's a cough starting at 7 a.m. So just so you know, like... We have a new thing at work, so I'll tell you about like little compensations.
Oh, this will be exciting. There is this a middle management thing?
No, but part of our election, either the election in 2016, one of the things that we voted for in Arizona as part of the Worst Workforce Act.
Mandatory sick time.
So
I have it.
They have taken some of our PTO, like I get quite a bit of PTO. There's no, there's, you may have noticed, but I'm gone a lot.
When you leave, I understand.
I get a butt ton of PTO. Well, now they've put some of it towards sick time.
Okay.
So you lose, you can accrue a lot, but at the end of the year, you can only carry over 40 hours. So you can build up like 80 hours, but then you've got to call in sick for 40 hours or you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
So I actually have to call in sick now and then. To make it, and one of the things that is they want you
That's
to do
weird.
Is a quality of life thing. They want you to use, like, no one wants you to build up PTO. That is not what PTO is for. PTO
right.
is
You're
to
supposed
be
to
used,
take the mental day.
Get your quality of life.
That's different
go on
than
vacation.
Sick, though.
Right. PTO is different than sick. but your PTO,
I feel ripped off.
PTO, you can build up to a different number, a little bit higher number, and then they cut you off. So you have to use it.
Did you say this was 2016?
2016. But, so now you have a separate sick bank, and you can use your sick bank for something else. So let's say you want to go on vacation, and you have 12 hours of PTO, and you have 36 hours of sick time. You just tell them, I would like to use my sick time.
Are you
now
a private company?
No.
Are you corporate owned?
Oh yeah, Banner Health.
Because I got robbed. Then I don't understand this. Not to interrupt your story,
but it's too late. Though.
we'll see how ASU's working out pretty good. But at Sage, they
I'm just gonna sip my. We didn't have paid time.
Well, we had vacation time, and that was very. They were very good about that. I got 3 weeks of vacation. It was wonderful. But the sick days that I accrued, you could not take them. It was a whole HR thing unless you were sick.
But no one can question you whether or not you're sick.
Well,
yeah, prove it.
Yeah, well.
The only time you have to prove
we never did.
And that's what they're trying to get.
I mean, I never took the time, is what I'm saying.
The point to this whole thing is that the point to this law was to say you can't make somebody have to prove they're sick.
Oh.
You can't take that away
from
them.
That was sort of the feeling where I worked, was like you had to be sick or
and that means
well, and may not be a legal thing. That may just be a shitty management culture, right?
Yeah. Like we talked about
before.
How's your middle manager? Feeling a theme emerge.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, I'll just be diplomatic
and
say
human resources
they
is
sucked.
The worst kind of middle management. Fuck those people. Mm.
So
fuck it. Okay.
It's one of those things that you, and they want, and they, we get emails all the time about, please don't let your PTO accrue. Plus, it works against their balance sheets. Like when you work for, like, what's, depending on the day of the week, whether we're the first or second largest healthcare system west of the Mississippi. So as soon as Kaiser buys something, we buy something.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody breaks the law and becomes a pseudo-monopoly, then we can buy something and become a
pseudo-monopoly. So that's why you're able to take some. Because part of me is convinced that you're not really a nurse.
Or employed.
But you just stay home and watch Netflix all day. No, well, that's what I meant. And you've been lying to us all this time, but you just hide for a few days a month while you're...
I'm at work when my TV's off. When my cable box
bought
sends out signals.
You bought, what is it, nurse outfits?
Yeah.
I wear my
nurse disguise.
Because every time you get back from a trip, I'm like...
When I go get my pen, my bottle of lotion, and my stethoscope, I tell people, I'm like, I got to go to get my locker to get my nurse disguise.
I saw this thing on Instagram.
Because as you can tell from anywhere in my life, there is lotion 1 foot away from my hand at all times because my skin is so dry.
I was going to send this to you the other day, and then I forgot to on Instagram. I've been following Insta Single.
I don't know if you know
who this person is. It's called Insta Single, and it's the funniest thing on. It's the funniest. I'm going to read from it later, but it's hysterical. And one of them said. It said adult relationships, and it was, you know, the text, and it says, hey, I'm off Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, when are you off? Mondays and Wednesdays. And I thought, that's us, because I know this is awful, but the entire time that you've been a nurse, I still have never known what your schedule is. I know you have Sundays. I'm like, that's the one night
but
you
never,
said.
But he doesn't talk about it.
I know, and you said you keep that one to yourself, and that's like a not,
but
you don't
if
you, do
if
anything.
But if you call me and schedule it, I'm happy to do it.
I thought you were a no-go on Sunday nights.
I'm always a go. You just have to call me on the down low.
I haven't called you because, well, that's nice. So for however many years, I've never called you on that night because I thought you once told me that was your, like, I protect
no,
that time.
No, but I just don't let it out to the whole world.
Oh,
but if you call me, I'll set an alarm.
So this entire time, I've never known your schedule, and now when I might even know it, you're always gone. So
yes, that has become the year of 50 and saying yes to everything.
You can also, because sometimes I will actually check in at the airport. Usually if I am ever at the airport, I'm dropping off or picking up him.
Right.
I don't go anywhere.
I know. I remember that one time you told me you didn't like to travel.
Well,
was when you had to go to L.A. or San Diego.
I know, somewhere.
And you were like, I hate this.
But what I think I figured out in the long term is I just didn't like the people I was
traveling with. No, that's exactly right.
I need to travel with people.
No, that's a huge part of it.
And I recommend traveling with the Wilf, a wonderful travel. We've been traveling
together.
Look
at that endorsement. What is that?
We've been traveling together for decades.
Well, right back at you.
Well, I'm a Yelper, so you'll get a big review on that.
Oh, my
We That's so funny. We are very low-key travelers. That
Al, I will return that praise. Al is the best travel person. We've gone on a lot of short and long trips, and it's always worked out really well. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's an endorsement for you, too. My God.
You know, I will say this. I was the other night, and I can't wait for entertainment because I'm full of useless information now that I've had the summer off to just do nothing but consume trivia.
Was it just this summer?
Hours right on the internet.
I put something on the entertainment list for him.
And you know when you said we like we'd go down the rabbit hole or something? Now I really have time to do it for hours on end.
That's what the first 45 minutes of this show's been.
Yeah. So,
middle management rabbit holes.
Exactly.
Travelocity.
But I was thinking about we need to go to Vegas again. We haven't done that in years. So.
I have
2 days, get in, get out.
We need him to go so he can figure out exactly where the lineup of hotels is on the strip because he has no idea anymore.
We almost got
a knockdown dragon argument one night. He's sitting in here about what's next to Caesar's Palace, next to Stardust. Stardust isn't there anymore.
Right. Stardust has been demolished.
And the fact that I don't accept the fact you were trashed when you looked at it.
You were.
I don't accept the argument. You were so drunk you could barely stand up when you were looking at
But you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it, I'm right.
I'm not going to give that up that easy. I'm going to be in the right song.
Now that it hit me, Al, two things that, since we need to reinvigorate our travel. Winery in California.
Yep, I'm in.
I have to do it. I got a good referral from my friend who's interviewing for a job in...
He doesn't care if it's a Casa Grande Winery. He'll go.
What's the fancy...
They have a winery in
Santa Barbara.
No, I'm just saying
this killer winery that she was just at. We have to go. And then the other one is, I think we need to do like Europe kind of thing. Either a cruise or a trip or... We need to do a big trip.
Italy's on the table for...
Okay, well, I'm in. That's the one I want to go to. All right, we'll talk later. Clayton, but back to you.
I just plan travel.
Next week.
Yeah, I think it's great.
You work for AAA. You can write out things for people.
A friend of mine is now, she's working as a nurse practitioner in the hospital and really like alleviating some stress from a doctor group that's overworked, doing God's work. So she was like, oh, it'll be, you know, I'm here all week. And I'm like, I'm on vacation.
Here all week.
She's like, do you have like 4 hours of PTO? And I'm like, no, I have 140. I have 40 hours of sick time. She's like, how? I'm like, oh, mama taught me to work the system, bitch.
Yeah. Atta girl.
That's right.
That bitch has never been near zero.
Ever.
Because when I'm not on vacation, I'm working overtime building PTO.
I understand.
So, Clayton, now that you have come to the conclusion that maybe it was the people you were traveling with, are you more open to the idea of taking a trip?
Oh, no, I would be open to doing that. The difference would be, obviously, now,
there's only one thing stopping you?
Right, yeah. I mean, well, there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, no, there's still a couple connections that I have to home that would have to be dealt with. But other than that, no.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking forward to going and doing is something like, one of the reasons I got tired of doing the prides, aside from everybody and their brother being there, every time I would go to San Diego for Pride, it was work and it was never fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just got tired of that.
Yeah.
Go to LA. It was just for fun. And I'm not a huge LA person, but everywhere I typically have gone in the past 9 years, aside from going home to Missouri with my mom, that was just, you know, and that was a relaxing. That was fun. I enjoyed that. But typically everywhere else I would go, I'm not saying I didn't have a good time in some cases, but it was always work. And I never got to really enjoy it or do.
I also have a theory too. This like, why is employment a thing tonight? But about when you're working, like you said, so it wasn't fun. But there's also something even sicker, like when you work in a thing where people are having fun.
Oh yeah.
So like when you work in bars and clubs or restaurants, and like you work where other people play, it's really fucked up.
Mm-hmm. It changes it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I would
haven't noticed.
Yeah, really.
Cat wouldn't know anything about that. I know more than she does about it.
I wish I could.
I'm kidding.
If I could have got there earlier Friday, I appreciated your check in at Stacy's on Friday for happy hour. That you had to go out and see people. Like you had to be around people.
Mm-hmm. So Sharon literally kicks me out of the house since Cobalt's been closed for
Stay
the
movie. Back
yeah,
on.
That's Stay back on. Exactly. Thank you, Kelly Clarkson.
That's right. That's got to be kind of weird.
Apparently,
right?
Something happens to me on a Friday afternoon, and it drives her insane. And so about 5, 6 o'clock, she looks at me and she goes, do you have some people to go see? Why don't you go out for a little while?
Yeah.
Why don't you
just get the hell out of here.
Because that was when you would normally work.
Why don't you go to happy hour? Well, sure.
Yeah,
that's kind of a nice thing to say.
It's a very cool thing. Yeah,
your companion, your partner at any point is, isn't there somewhere you want to go and do? Like, can we just be separate for a little while?
She has noticed that, you know, because I do work in the bar and have for a really long time, I get all of my social energy through work.
Right.
And so when I don't have that, like all of that energy comes down at a certain point. I need
then
to.
Then she's got
to
start singing show tunes or doing karaoke.
And she's doing none of this shit. None of this shit. She's not singing a show tune. She's not doing a tap dance.
She is letting me down.
Nothing.
How has that been for you, this
what's that?
Break?
Well,
I've not going and doing that.
I've filled all the time. I, so far, keep popping up at happy hour places on Fridays.
It's not that you haven't been busy. You have filled the time.
Very busy. I fill the time. I always fill the time. I can't sit still. Not possible.
I meant just like that. Well, that social piece, but I guess you are getting it.
I'm getting kicked out on a Friday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Go to the bar. So I go and
I
sit there and...
Yeah, that is.
Know. We're going to give her
a
thumbs up.
That's a sign
when
of trust.
When the kind offers of cocktails...
You have your own bell, by the way.
When the kind offers of sponsorship...
Get your own bell!
Your own goddamn
line up too quickly, I start shoving them to the side and I exit quickly because I'm not... Too old to be making a spectacle of myself. There's no reason to be poured into a cab at 11 o'clock at night.
And I hate to interrupt the interruption of the interruption.
What if we interrupt?
Where are we?
That's
on
never
this
happened.
The bottle.
That's
the
never
gay
happened
bars
before.
Are getting closer and closer to my fucking house. I just found out later in the gay bar at my corner. I was trying to make that longer than a block because I always say everything's at the end of my block.
Yeah.
Well, this one is. I live on 15th Avenue. It's on 15th Avenue. Yeah. It's on my street. There's a gay bar.
Yeah, they just converted another crappy trashy bar.
I don't know
bar,
what they did to the previous victim's blood, but...
But...
Yeah.
Well, they cleaned it with bleach.
But we're going. We are going.
Oh, we are?
Wait, which one is it? The one where the person was killed?
It's called
the Caravan.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, I know Caravan.
I wanted to go next
it's
Tuesday.
A gay
that's
now.
Gay?
It's gay!
Now, it is now.
Oh,
it was.
Okay.
It was purchased and
I may have to come out of my show for that.
Did some stuff.
Research and development, darling.
R&D. I get it. Well, that it always had like one car in front of it. That's why I always wondered.
I think
like,
it's still
that.
Because
that?
No one in there had a driver's license
or money.
Yeah.
I'm not
happy with that neighborhood. I don't even like the neighborhood.
That's my neighborhood.
Your neighborhood is no,
not
no, no,
only
no, 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 no. It's
not. Your neighborhood.
It's,
no. It's directly
this,
between
it's this neighborhood.
You house. Are you.
We're practically we're broadcasting live from Caravan.
No,
currently.
No, we are not. You live half a mile from that bar, and that half a mile is very
that's
different.
That's half a mile. If you walk a half a mile in the wrong direction and then walk back, I live. My address is 15 blah blah blah.
Honey, I know that.
That's on 15th Avenue.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is, you live half a mile. There's a big difference between where that is and your neighborhood.
I ride my.
Well, there's some projects on the way. I know.
A half a mile doesn't even get you to Harkins Theater. Is not even a full mile to my from my house. Like Harkins Theater, when you put it in, is like 0.6 miles. We can measure that distance to Caravan.
I think he just means there's a lot of there is on right on Camelback. You mean.
But not on
no.
15th
is that
Avenue.
What you mean?
Houses, no. houses,
yeah,
houses.
I'm not
one
following.
Dead body,
yeah.
That bar.
Yeah, I get it. No, I know. I'm with you on this one.
A dead body, though.
I think it's more than one dead body.
And I get I actually, for the first time in my entire life, regularly wash a car. It's mine, so that helps.
Yeah.
But I paid the money. I paid those fuckers for like two free car washes a month, or I guess it could be 30 if I went every
day. It's unlimited, yes.
I don't know how that works.
Trust me, I know.
I just gave $24 and told him to stop walking up to my car. Let's
ever since
not
they hired that
friends.
Latest cute guy that does this to bring a car in, my car has never been dirty.
Oh, he waves at me like this, and I don't know what he wants, but I'm giving it.
You're right.
You
on.
Can have all of it.
What
and
cookies?
Then he tells me to go slide to the left with my mouth, with what, where, how.
Yeah.
They're all cute. I give them $20, my car is clean. But right across the street from that car wash, guess what it is?
It's a gay bar.
They're in
I want to go.
Oh, we're going. We're going. Okay.
All right.
Do you not know what we're talking about?
So
no, I know 100% what we're talking about. I was.
She told me.
What's the confusion?
Do you have a piece of paper?
Well, I was going to go fact check the distances.
Oh, I thought you were going to do crime statistics. What are you touching?
We
me?
Need a piece of paper
for what?
I do know the crime statistics.
Know.
Well, you, Clayton, you would know them too because you're on Neighborhood App like I am.
I am next door. You mean the next door? Yeah.
Established in 1960. Yeah. What the fuck are they talking about? Wait a minute.
Oh, it's.
We need some truth.
It's
in
been there forever.
Here.
But they just put pearls on a pig and made it a new bar. But I am very skeptical of the people who walk around the neighborhood. I don't have any desire to go there.
But you're just
Well, I didn't when it was Caravan.
Half a mile from the same people that are at Charlie's. Like, this is in the neighborhood.
I feel much safer walking
across...
The homeless
people wine bar is just a half a foot away.
Yeah.
Where?
The refuge... It's literally called Refugee Wine Bar.
Oh, but nobody's ever there, so I'm not risking anything.
And I feel like it's never
reopened. And it's Catholic.
No one told them that the homeless people can't afford wine and coffee.
Right, exactly. It feels like it's never open, too. Whenever I go by, it's like it's closed.
It always is. Well, because it closes at 4:45 in the afternoon.
That's when I get up.
Because all the Catholics want to go home and watch the news.
I guess that's why I missed it.
I gotta stop hitting snooze if I want to hit the Catholic homeless wine bar. So what we've learned is I'm a good person.
Yeah. And wait, is that what?
That's what we've learned.
How did we get that?
I just thought we'd end strong.
We haven't got to me yet.
Yeah.
Clayton, what have
and
you...
And now for the rest of the story.
Clayton, what have you been up to?
Does he not know how this show works?
I know.
Oh, yes. Oh, I know
like
all too
anyone
well.
Anyone has ever stayed on one topic ever.
Oh, those are the boring shows. We've had a couple of those.
We've read those.
Yeah, we've had a few
Google
of those.
Alleges that you could walk there from here.
Alleges. Allegedly.
You could walk there from here.
From here.
22 minutes from here. So it's 22 minutes. It's 1.1 miles from here.
Right.
And I live uber closer from the German to Uber.
Yeah. Thanks, Angela. Ms. Merkel. Frau Merkel.
Do I have to whisper my address?
No, she knows it.
I know where you live.
Because it's two blocks from here.
There's a lot of letters
she
in
bought,
it.
She bought that line before.
It's just one block more. Al, it's Thursday already.
We've been on the road for weeks. It's just on the end of the street.
When did you pick me up? I didn't know I was even...
Google alleges from Al Perkins' house... 10 minutes. It's half a mile.
Yeah, I said half a mile.
No.
Okay.
So 1 mile from here, half a mile from there, straight up the street.
So,
that's twice as much discomfort I have to go through to get there.
It's two times.
Two times.
Yeah, there's that.
But I have walked home from Christmas parties at Stacy's and told people it's at the end of this street.
I understand.
Now, think of the truth I'm telling.
Right. I'd rather walk home between in that neighborhood.
I've walked home from Stacy's.
When have you ever walked home from a bar?
Oh, God. We were there that night.
You were with me.
Oh,
and I did.
I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You walked home all the way home.
And I've walked home from your house before, too.
Fucking drunks.
These are your parties we're going to, sir or ma'am.
Don't blame the bartender.
Sir. Dear sir or ma'am.
However you identify.
I never went to rehab until I went to your house. No, I never needed rehab. So what'd you do last week?
Well, in addition to...
I know what segment we're on.
Yes, we are.
I'm not stupid.
I went to a friend of mine's sister works for GoDaddy, and she sent me an invitation to one of their open hiring call things.
Cool.
So I went last Thursday to that, and it's way the fuck out there. It's off the 101 in Warner.
Was there a swimsuit competition?
Yeah.
No, there was not.
Okay.
So I went to this deal. Now, remember I've said before with this whole job search thing, this whole...
Always online.
Well, no, it's all online. But what's different to me is I don't understand. I'd never, ever been to a cattle call hiring thing.
Yeah.
Any of this stuff. So I walk in and I think that she's got something specific to me, for me, that she wants, you know, me to check on or do, which was no part of that. So I had to figure out why I was here with all these young people. Because even upper management at GoDaddy is younger than me.
Yeah, it seems like their culture would be young.
They were. Again, it was a cool building. Everything was good. I went through the little presentation.
How are you on a skateboard?
Not well.
I'm just guessing.
Not good. Not good.
What if we put those Heely things on your feet?
I saw a child on one of those Heely things come whipping through the Apple store. She didn't die. That's how I thought it was going to go.
Good for her.
She was able to break and stop and pick up a child and keep
them. They're good like that
she
age.
She's like four.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Wow.
Pray continue.
So went to that, did all that. Oddly, when I got home afterwards, I told my mom this, I got a huge anxiety attack after it all. It was and I don't know if it's because of the thought of the drive or whatever.
Because it was so far away.
Well, the drive, and it was the cubicle scenario of all that. But I actually thought, and that's what I told my mom when I told her last weekend, I was like, is this it? Is that all there is? Felt very...
That's why you had the anxiety.
It felt very stifling.
Yeah.
Even though their environment is crazy and fun, and you know, I've
it's
heard all
new.
Kinds of good... It was just very... it just was like, am I done? Like, mm-hmm. This is it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no... to me, I felt like there was no creativity in it, no outlet, no, you're not... Yeah,
right.
You're on a phone 8 hours a day listening to other people's problems. And I told them, I'm like, I just got out of 9 years of every time my phone rings, it's somebody with a problem.
Right.
Now, right now when my phone rings, it's very different because the problem is, can you, will you, you know, it's a little different. But that was, it was very different. So the anxiety, and it went through the night. Like, I couldn't even sleep. It's very odd. I never experienced that.
Is part of that because of being there and you would just be not moving around? Because it seems like you... Your other jobs, you're like go and do.
Oh no, I go and do and do it.
And this is not a go and do.
They encourage you to do that. They even have stand up desks. You can go log and do a treadmill and do your entire shift if you or parts of your shift.
That's why I said we do a skateboard.
Like you can do all kinds of stuff there. They have slides. They have and at 3:30 the automatic locks come off of their beer selection, and you can go have a beverage in the middle of your afternoon.
Can you do a sweat lodge?
No, I'm not going to go work and do shirts with her. No,
Come on now.
I'm good.
Okay, so...
You don't know, it's fun.
I guess I'm misunderstanding...
Which part?
The whole thing.
We're not starting over, Al. Catch up.
No, but I was under the assumption that the stress was from the job fair setting.
Yeah.
But this is the actual workspace that they're in, that they're actually doing the Silicon Valley... This isn't a joke. This is how we work. Like, there's a ping pong game.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay.
No, there are golf putting greens. There's a slide from floor one to two.
See,
or two to one, I mean.
I saw just this weekend.
Crazy.
On MSNBC Insomnia up at 4:30 in the morning. You see all kinds of interesting programming. And some HR thing that's taking over the world now, this HR guy. Like, now 1% of companies in America use him, which that's really big. But
I'm gonna dose this motherfucker and get him to sleep. I got something.
I need it. And I was in it the whole time when she was talking, and I'm like, oh, this sounds really good. And he seemed cool. And the whole model seemed really good for, you know, HR's kind of stuffy. And, you know, he was – so people are really responding to this until they said – he was like, it's a requirement, no shoes at work. I'm like, yeah, I'm
– Oh, no.
I'm out. Ping pong table, maybe, but the no shoes, fuck off. No.
No, there's –
not doing that.
No, it was
– I'm not walking barefoot with other motherfuckers.
But it's so, like, trying so hard to be cool.
No.
Right.
Like, who thought that was the cool thing?
I have beautifully manicured feet. I offer that to the world. Others do not.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I don't need to know the difference.
That would be me.
Went through that, saw that. I wasn't really thrilled with that. Been doing other things at the bar, repair, fix, solving problems right and left.
So have you heard from GoDaddy?
No, I didn't apply for anything.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were applying.
Oh, no, no. I walked out of there going, I'm not. And then again, just over the...
Okay.
Like, by the time I had driven from out there to home, like, this anxiety just had...
Well, that's a sign. That's a good sign.
I was under the impression that it was the whole job fair experience, and you...
No, it was a little of that.
Because I think... I have been to two job fairs, and I found both of them to be, like, anxiety-producing. Like, I saw
a little,
no
it
reason
was.
For either of them.
It was a little bit. Then the other part of this is, like, the other day I got called by somebody to... they are asking me if I had an interest in being a bar manager for a bar here in town. And I was like... No.
We talked about this.
No. And I said no for two reasons. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's one. Number two, I don't think it's fair. I don't think that it's fair for somebody to come in and manage something if you don't know what that job entails. And I've never been a bartender. So I don't think it's fair to go in and be a manager of a crew that runs a bar if I've never been behind that. I don't think it's fair. So I said no, but aside from that, I just no to these particular people, this particular bar. Anyway, aside from that,
we were very disappointed.
But to interrupt
you. It was not you. But I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Managing is managing. That it does stay the same. So if you've managed chickens, you can manage
it's the same.
People. It really is the same.
Yeah.
Like the management techniques that you use, if you're good as a manager and good at delegating and good at like corralling people into what they do, it doesn't matter what it is you're man. It's like sales. If you're good at selling something, you can sell anything.
I understand what you're saying. That's my personal feeling.
Oh no, I get that, but I want you to like leave that back on the table.
Just don't
if you've
limit
managed
yourself.
Anything, don't limit yourself because you haven't done this specific thing. If you're good at delegating and getting people to do what you're supposed to do, you can do that in any realm.
Oh, no. Like, project management would be totally different. I could project manage anything with any... I don't care if it's electrical, plumbing, building. I could do that.
But I think you manage... Not us, but I think you manage people.
It's just that...
I mean, not in this room.
Not this experience.
Not today, Berta.
I wouldn't put this on your highlight reel.
Oh, no. Not at all. I just... Again, I think in fairness to other people... I just don't think
I can. Oh, no, but you have to back off of that. If you can manage, you can manage in any business. Like, you, that really is the truth.
And sometimes good workers make shitty managers.
Yeah. Number two thing on my list is I ran into, I think I texted you.
You made a very important point that needs to be said.
Not, can I listen again later, or are you going to tell me right now?
Say it again.
Say it again. You say it with your mouth open. Say it with your mouth full of food.
Sometimes the people that work in there, in that profession, are not good at managing that profession. You need someone who can manage.
I have heard that before, too, because they
would agree with that.
Got
That's entirely true. So don't limit yourself in that way.
I feel like we've already grown. number two. I ran into...
Q-talk
I'm just
and personal
keep
growth.
I ran into a friend of ours the other day that I hadn't seen in a long time. I texted you about it. I ran into Rob Aloka at Stacy's, and I about fell over because I have not seen him in... I feel like it's been years since I've seen him.
Probably years.
It's probably not been, because I think the last time may have been at your house. Maybe. But... Oh my gosh, he's aging so well. He looks fantastic.
He's handsome.
And I was taken with, like, he looks like Edward Shaughnessy, who used to was on The Nanny, who played the Mr. Sheffield. He looks a little bit, but he's graying. He looks good. He seemed very happy. He said he's doing he was some show, some production he was involved in, or he was doing. He seems very happy and good. It was just a nice thing to see him, because I know we've talked about Rob on the show before over the years, here and there. Mm-hmm. But it was just nice to see him. Sure. That was it. Now, the other thing that hit me completely
always a pleasure to see.
Broadsided, and I thought you would enjoy this. So I'm sitting at Stacy's. This is going to be a recurring thing. The Stacy's thing, I'm there all the time.
It's right there.
I'm there with
my
friend, Ricardo Sanchez, Phoenix police officer.
Sure.
A new person who's added to our little group is a circuit court judge.
Oh.
His name's,
you need one of those.
His name's David. So it's not like, so we're covering all territories here.
You're playing Law and Order all on your own.
Oh yeah, dun dun. We just do that right there.
I think you're Mariska Hargitay in this story.
So lucky.
So last Sunday, we were sitting there just shooting the breeze on the patio talking about things, and they were talking about different people running for different offices, whatever's coming up. Because David is actually, he's actually interviewing for a different judge position with the city of Phoenix at some point this month, I think.
Cool.
Anyways, it was really interesting. So I didn't know this because it never crossed my mind. They've decided that I need to run for justice of the peace of the Encanto district.
Ooh.
Because here's what I didn't know about this. A, you don't have to be a lawyer.
You do not.
He says that the judge in this conversation says that they actually encourage you to not be,
mm-hmm.
because you are more in line with common folk, the people that you're justice of the peace.
They also don't want
you
to be a politician.
Right. There's that. The mm-hmm. other, and then I didn't know this. If you get elected, you don't have to know jack mm-mm. shit. They send you to a whole course.
Yep.
They put you through all this stuff. You go to Tucson. You sit with a judge. You shadow a judge for a while. Then a judge shadows you.
Yep.
They put you through this whole big thing.
It's
and then it's
so
a four-year
good.
Term. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody feel like Trump heard this same speech
years
ago?
So wait, here's what I want to know. This is very important business. How many shirts do you need?
Yes. So it's too late for me right now, but he says, oh no.
You know who's running for Justice Peace is Ken Chevron.
Ken Chevron.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and Rebecca Winninger, formerly of this network.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen her. Her
she's
signs.
She's running for Justice of the Peace.
So the funny thing about, for Encanto?
No, I feel like she's farther west.
Okay. So, anywho,
I'll find out.
I was like, well, it's too late now. Like, you know, everything's up and running, blah, blah, blah.
Justices of the pieces.
So guess what else I heard that's really cool about it?
What?
No, it's good news.
Oh, I heard the pay. I heard that, too.
No, listen.
Justice
this is really, really interesting. Because I know, believe me, I looked into it.
You can fix your own parking tickets?
I thought about running for it.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be handy?
Actually, to win... It's very little, like, you don't have to raise a ton of money and do a whole bunch of stuff. You just need to do a lot of really intense outreach just locally. Literally, they were like, you can put signs up on the telephone pole and the light pole or whatever. Like, you don't have to do this bit. It's not like running for other things.
Right.
And that most people who run for Justice of the Peace, it's one of the things that is the least... like money involved. What I like about it is it's the most like, do you know the people that live in your neighborhood?
Right. Oh.
And if you do that, you'll win. And
so that's what David was saying.
So when is the deadline?
I don't know when the deadline to do all of that stuff to be on the ballot, because I think those are already in print. However, I could still do it as a write-in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To be printed on the ballot, I think I'm too late
your
for
deadline's passed.
However, the write-in is still completely open. Now, I'm not prepared
However,
to do this.
You have to register to be a write-in candidate. You know that, right?
Oh, I don't. I haven't got that far. I'm not,
okay, well, I'll do it.
I am not on this. Hang on. I'm just sharing this with you. Hang on a minute. So then David says, I think you could run against Ken Chevron and beat him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, why? And he goes, more people know you. He goes, you are more involved because Ken has been, he's had his restaurants and he's done all of his other stuff. But Ken hasn't been in the trenches with all of the people like I have at the bars, running shows, fundraising, mm-hmm. doing all the shit that I've done. So he's like, oh, I think just on recognition alone, you put your face on a sign and your name, he goes, you could probably beat him.
I can make signs too.
So, when is the deadline?
Well, I haven't checked in on any of that.
You know, so check this out. I don't remember for write-in, but you do have to register ahead of time to be a write-in candidate.
So check this out. When I was in between the last job and ASU, when I worked for a few months for community support services, my job was doing outreach to courts. So I have a list of every single justice of the peace, and I had to do outreach to them. So I had to call them and meet them and give them our materials. It was a total PR thing, right?
And jobs.
So, well.
Wow.
Those were free.
I'm going to recuse. I'd like to recuse myself.
So this is what you're, and Kat, you'll like this about the resume part. So what you said made me think of this.
Well, make sure I didn't like the hand job.
I went through to see who was, what they were all about, right? And so I went on every single one of their websites, the whole thing. They do their whole profile, and they'll post their previous experience and stuff on there. So I want you to know that the Justice of the Peace in Gila Bend, his previous job was rodeo clown.
Oh, good for him. Listen, that's a hard job.
You're welcome.
So I can use this. I can use this.
Yes.
That's a harder job than you think.
Well, he was certainly proud of it.
Oh, fuck, I wouldn't be a rodeo clown. You couldn't pay me. No, fuck no. The makeup alone.
It was just so funny to read. Everyone else's resume was like business,
there's no contour,
law.
There's no blending. What the fuck are those girls doing?
Bell bottoms? What are we wearing?
I just love putting that list together because I was reading everyone else, you know, business, law,
right,
real estate.
Right.
But rodeo clown.
What do we got, Kat? What do we find out?
Well, I'm looking for the deadlines and having a contact try and jump out of my eye, so that's fine.
There is pizza and lemon pepper rubs.
Delicious pizza.
When we get to our next segment, I'm going to go get some of that.
I just thought
that was the craziest thing, and they all got so excited just sitting there about how we can pull this off and how this could be done. And I was completely broadsided from the standpoint of I didn't realize what
You're resisting us, and we're trying to get you on the ballot.
Yeah. I just think that's just the nuttiest thing.
The requirements are actually pretty small because I was really serious.
Yeah.
She was going to be mine inspector.
I was going to be mine inspector.
Oh, I can see you being a JP. I can totally see it.
Yeah, you know, I went through this whole thing and was really, really serious I was going to run for office. And then I realized that doing the job sounded so soul-crushing.
Oh, yeah.
The middle management of politics.
The worst, right. Because I was going to run for state legislature.
No tip jar.
Mostly because I hate all of the people in my district. real bad.
That's your good slogan. I hate all of you.
I hate you. Vote for me.
All you people are the worst
Vote
people
for
in
me.
America.
I fucking dare you.
I hate them, too. Vote for me.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, that's a spin. I like that.
Thank you.
But no, every time like that vision got to the point of actually doing the job and going down to the state capitol and like actually having to do that job, I almost died every time. Like my heart would literally stop and I'd be like,
literally.
But state rep is good because you only do it 5 months.
It didn't matter.
Then you have 7 months off.
Yeah.
So
that's a long time for my heart to be stopped.
Think of the shirt you could make though.
If condition continues,
months.
Patient will be dead.
Right. Like the campaign sounded really fun. The like talking to people sounds really fun. All of the running up to the election sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But then actually having to show up and deal with those fucking clowns.
Right.
I would be.
Well, there actually is one in Gila Bend.
Yeah,
there is. The rodeo clown. You can talk to him.
Just the guy from Gila Bend. We end up on the same committee together.
Clowns, please come forward.
I feel like you'd be off the show Baskets for some reason. I feel like that's how that's
going. Oh, we're going to talk about that later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Look at that. Well, before we do that, because Doug was so excited about doing it, we're going to do this one.
Constantly making references only to obsession. Are you obsessed? Is it keeping you up at night? Do you find yourself constantly making references only to be met with blank stares? Obsession. This segment is for you. Obsession. Whether it's musicals, mowers, Motown, Subarus, or Sondheim, It's time to share your obsession with the show, with Clayton McKee.
Oh, do you have one, Kat, or do you not?
I clearly don't. Can I be obsessed with my obsession intro?
Yeah.
You enjoy it every time.
Quality work. Every time. It's quality work. Quality work.
Obsession. It is. Well, since Doug wanted this, I have an obsession too.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I was going
to
be first.
But,
yeah. No, you get to, you know, I yield the floor.
Okay.
Oh, look at that. She's yielding to you. There was a lot of that going on last week.
To the lady in teal.
What, do you have cameras in her house? I didn't know she yielded.
No, watching that fucking Senate hearing.
Uh-oh.
That clown car full of bullshit. Anyway, Doug, yes. Obsession.
So what I'm currently obsessed with...
Can you also stay in frame? Look at. Can you figure out how...
Slightly... get out of the box. Out of the box. Look at the camera.
This one.
There you go. Oh, my God.
Now if you could just... Sit
over here.
Pull the mic over a little bit. Okay. These are all... Look at... stay in frame! Okay. Obsession.
Okay, now I'm in frame. What I'm currently obsessed
I'll
with...
I'll just nudge you when you need to move over.
With a cattle prod.
Farm equipment.
With a cattle prod. Oh, here. Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
What I'm currently obsessed with is the show Baskets.
Mm. Oh.
I was late to the party when it first came out. Some weird thing where I thought it was about basket cases. So I thought it was about like people in the middle. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So got it all wrong. So mm-hmm. Zach Galifianakis and the creator who I love.
Louis Anderson.
The creator.
I don't know.
The one that got in trouble for sex things, but he's really funny. Louis C.K.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. It was Louis C.K.
Right. He created the show, but with Zach, right. Or produced it or whatever. Anyway, right. That's not important. But so I finally started watching it, and what I am obsessed with is Louis Anderson's performance on that show.
Of course.
Yeah. So I do know 2 years ago he won an Emmy. It was really kind of unexpected. He wasn't, you know, expected to. And I swear, that is one of the best television programs I've ever seen, but it's really – well, everyone's good on it, but really because of that particular performance. And it's interesting because there's so much of the, you know, trans thing and, you know, and the whole what's the show with – he got kicked off
Transparent.
Too. Transparent. Right. Thank you. You know,
Jeffrey Tambor.
But what I like is that this character – isn't that. There isn't anything about sexual. It's just literally a character played by an actor. But of course, it's, you know, the character is a woman. But you really, like, and since you watched this, so I didn't know. Do you watch it, Al?
My mom watches it too.
Okay.
So we're all.
Okay, good. So Mama Di knows. Al, do you watch it?
I do not.
Okay. Well, you need to. So then you know what I'm talking about.
Write it down.
So you know what I'm talking about. Don't you like after like a couple of minutes you just totally forget? Like you're just immersed in that character. Like I am not seeing Louis Anderson. I don't think of that character as a man playing.
100%. Yeah. No, I totally do that.
And so I love that. And it's sort of that, you know, what they call like what Tracy Ullman did, like comedy with drama underneath. Like I love that she's a regular person. You know, she just makes casseroles, and she's just like this total... Goes to Costco.
Yeah, does all that.
And they'll be in the middle of that, and you're kind of thinking, okay, whatever. And then they'll hit some serious moment when someone like... And the thing with the episode I watched, and then she said about, well, no, that's not the way it happened. You know, Dad was an alcoholic, and he, like, beat us, and, you know. And it's like all of a sudden this just, like... real emotional moment will come through that really informs that character, I think. And it just blows me. I think that is like the best performance I've seen in like 20 or 30 years.
If you CBS...
It's incredible.
Go to CBS Sunday Morning's website.
Yes.
Last Sunday, I don't know if you saw it, the segment they did, they interviewed Louis.
Okay,
about
good,
that character.
Uh-huh.
He bases that
on his mom.
His mother. And when he goes into makeup, when they do, I guess he's in
they
makeup
don't
for
do
2 hours.
Any, like, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't know what they do under the moon booth that he wears.
They don't. That's what he said.
But the when he's on set, he says, Louis's gone.
Exactly.
I'm Christine.
Yes.
Christine Baskets, that's how you refer
Did
to me.
Did he talk about going to the store?
I don't recall.
Okay. So thank you so much for telling me this because I'm excited about this interview because the other thing I'm obsessed with, and Al unfortunately doesn't have it, is the Hollywood Reporter has an interview, a roundtable show on Sundance. And it's so good. I've watched it for
Sundance.
Years
I have
now.
All the channels
you,
now.
You do? Oh my God, you have.
Based on my cable,
Sunday
though.
Mornings, it comes on at like 7 a.m. And Lacey Rose is the interview. It's Hollywood. And they do like comedy actresses, drama actors, drama actresses. Then they'll do movie. You know, it's a director's cinema. They've done director's cinematography. It's fascinating.
It's all
so
on YouTube too.
Fucking good. So Louis Anderson was on the comedy actors just 2 weeks ago, and I was so glad that he was on, and he talked about that, and he said it was based on my mom, that's why it's so real to me. Mm-hmm. And he talked, and I love it, he's no ego, like he just talked about being a comedian and not really acting, and it just that comes through. But he did talk about, because he has to stay in that makeup, he once they get him in, you know, in the
and it's
the
really
wig,
not, you know, a lot, but once
not,
the, but once the wig goes on,
they
it
said,
changes
"Do you do
everything.
Any prosthetic?" He said, "We don't do anything because I'm just fat."
And yeah. So well, he said,
"They put a little lipstick on him,
but the
like
hair."
That?
He said he can't take the hair and the makeup off, and so when there's breaks and stuff, they went to the store, and so he was talking about, interestingly enough, like the he said, "You know, I'm not a, it's not a trans character or whatever." But when I went to the store, people were figuring it out. They were like, wait, what? Like, is that – that's a guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'll speed this up. But he was just trying to talk about how, like, he experienced two things. One, what it was like to be discriminated as a woman for the people that didn't know.
Sure.
And then also, like, just transphobia, mm-hmm. you know? And people like – and he said, I've encountered that from being overweight, but nothing like that. And he just said it really helps inform the performance and – it's just the greatest show.
But
and
I don't see so Louis good. Anymore.
I don't either. That's
I
the one thing I wanted to say tonight,
yeah,
so thank you.
I don't
you.
See
yeah.
him.
It's amazing, right? Because you should, but you don't.
Yeah, because
it's
there's so the, little there. They really do
the
little,
mom.
Very
yeah.
little to him.
Oh, so
and like,
good.
Oh, my mom, she's like, I love oh. it. She loves oh. that show. And when I first started...
Die, I love that show so
when
much. I'm so glad you watch it.
I first started watching the first few episodes. I was like, oh, I think this is a little too dark for me. I
yeah,
just don't
it is
think
dark.
I can get it.
It
but
is.
Then... they you go through the drama, you get it, and then they give you a peek, and then you're brought again, they give you another peek, and it's whole.
How far are you caught
oh
up?
I've watched every single one up
so,
to date.
Zach there's twin sons, so he gets to play two roles, and the one went to French clown school.
Oh,
and so it because of course can't get a job anywhere, but he's this fancy, you know, he's very fancy, right? And she's not.
He flunked out of yeah. clown school.
He flunked out.
Yeah, he's not. He's
he,
no good.
He thinks just, he's like a dilettante. You know, like he thinks he's that. So there's an episode where some people from his clown school. Do you remember this one?
Yes.
They come to America,
uh-huh.
and it's the deadpan delivery of Louis Anderson is so funny because the mom she doesn't get any of that. She thinks that's all the stupidest thing in the world. And so the fans are there. Or the his. Cohorts that in school they're here and but they all of course have French accents, so it's kind of a subtle joke throughout is they're heavy French accents, so when they're speaking English they it's hard, right? And so there's this one thing at the end where they are finally telling him all the things they're doing and they're using their clown degree, right? And he's funny. Not and they're, you know, they're talking about all these wonderful things they're doing, and then the one she just gives him the bad news, she's like, Louis, she's like, you're not a clown. Like a clown, like that. And he's like all like devastated. And then the mom goes, you're not a clown.
You're not a clown.
You're not a clown.
And then they make him burn. Then they make him burn that
it's
costume.
The funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. It's that whole like subtle like you
oh,
do.
Yeah.
You really
oh,
do
I,
have to be watching it.
Yeah.
But just remember that moment. And there's moments like that throughout the whole thing that are
it's
just
a,
priceless.
It's an odd show. Yeah. But now I'm wrapped
very
up in the
odd.
Goddamn thing, and I have
yeah,
to watch
me
it.
Me too. So that's what I'm obsessed with. And but ongoing obsession, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. This summer has let me catch back
Unbreakable.
Up. So we need to talk about that.
That
just the run. Do you watch that one?
I couldn't get into that one, but
I'm
I think
all...
I need to just submerge myself and do a
well,
do a
Jane Krakowski is
stay alive,
binge.
Jane Krakowski is the my I think my favorite person in the world. Anyone who ever gives her a job, that's wonderful. But Al, you'll know this. I like the I don't know if this is just for hardcore viewers or whatever, but I love the subtlety of the callbacks like three episodes later to a joke.
Oh, yeah.
That is the best thing.
I always enjoyed that in a series.
The other night, I was laughing because I'm in season three. I'm just finishing it. And now I'm seeing that it is a theme now that I've come back to the show. What is it? What is his name? The black guy.
Titus.
Titus Andromedon. And there's a thing when he goes on the ship and then and at her house, there's a garbage bag with googly eyes. And they walk by and they're like, oh, hey, Titus. Which is funny in its own right, right? And then three episodes later, there's this, and I'm going to say it wrong, but there's some callback where they're talking. Someone's like talking about, in a totally other context, garbage bags with googly eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, please, please, I want to know that every viewer got that joke.
You swam away from your last two jobs. Yeah. And you're like, oh, he really did. One,
and then they do it. They did it, the callback the other way, when he said, when he was doing the commercials, and he's like, oh, I want to sing a song that Dionne Warwick taught me. And then you don't hear about, but then weeks later, there's the whole boat trip with Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
Is it Maya Rudolph? Who did the Dionne?
Yeah. Maya Rudolph.
That, have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Was that the funniest fucking thing you have? They massage the vocal cords. So sorry.
That show almost killed me.
I know. It's killing me right now because I'm watching it.
Because
I choked
on my cereal. Then I choked on the water I tried to like calm myself with. Then as I was aspirating, I breathed in the napkin, and I almost choked on the napkin. And that was a two turtle doves. What, are you going to go into the park and make friends with a bee? You know what I mean? And just the fact that they know she's stupid.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
It's fantastic.
So I love it.
So there's that.
So that's my obsession.
So, and my obsession is probably still the same as the last few weeks. It's this book that I can't finish because it upsets me so much that I have to hide it in the freezer. And it's that I'll Be Gone in the Dark from the Golden State Killer.
Mm.
And by the woman who killed herself before the book was published, Patton Oswalt's wife. I read like 2 and 3 chapters and I have to like just step back and breathe because I'm terrified at this guy's shenanigans of how he like murdered and raped people, because it's like it's just so blunt and like how everything went down.
It's interesting to me that you're getting that from reading a book, and you are one who you watch gore and blood and stuff in your living room that you freak out about watching that, but you get through it.
Yeah,
but this book, you're having to just step away.
It's all true stories, and it's written by someone who was so overwhelmed with the story that she killed herself, and you can't get past that. As she's like, I was obsessed with this. I finally met someone who has the same obsession as me. Someone has cufflinks that were stolen from a site that they're holding on to, so I traded a secret that I knew about this for the cufflinks, and I brought them to the detective because the person that's also a true crime... And you're finding out about all these people that are, like, true crime obsessives. That they're and so that's who she's dealing with.
It's a whole podcast network about these people,
right? And
or
she,
from these people,
and
like,
she had the podcast. I think it's called True Crime. She was the host of that podcast and reaching out to people because it's the original Night Stalker and the East Side Rapist. So it's ESRONS, and like how they're all trading. And you just can't stop figuring out because the book was not finished.
Mm-hmm.
So chapters start with, this was taken from Michelle's diaries. This is a composite of something that she wrote for a true crime thing here. And it's going to take me the rest of my life to read this book. It's 2 chapters, 3 chapters. And I'm terrified. Like, I sit at home hearing noises because this guy was, he's just so maniacal. And the fact that he was outside people's houses, he was in the neighborhoods, people saw him for days and be like, I don't know, there's just some guy standing over
he
there.
He walked among them.
But not walked among them, but there was someone standing by
there's
a tree
just a
for
dude
2 days.
Over there every day, right.
And no one would call the cops and be like,
oh, I thought you meant
that
he was...
guy should not, like, who is he? Why is there a guy that doesn't belong in this neighborhood standing by that tree? Like, now we have people calling the cops and people barbecuing at a park
right,
where there's
true.
A barbecue. But these people are like, oh, yeah, there was some guy running through my backyard last night. You call the cops.
Sure.
You don't wait till, like, someone's been raped and murdered and then be like, oh, yeah, there was that guy that's been lingering around.
It's
going
to happen to you when you're walking from your house to that bar. That's what's going to happen.
No, that's a true story because it's already happened to 15,000 people. So that's mine. That I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's a terrific read, and she was a really good writer. Like, she has the kind of writing that, like, you're just instantly involved. Like, she really was very, very good writer. But it's so disturbing to know how disturbing the story is and the effect that it took on her. And she talks about her husband. She talks about living in the entertainment community, all the things that she can't really participate with because all she cares about is true crime.
Figuring out this, right.
And she talks about knowing comedians and knowing, like, all the famous... She doesn't mention any, she doesn't name drop, but she's like, I spend a lot of time with people that are self-obsessed. So I know what it's like to be dangerously unhealthy with your work, your life. Like, the people I'm around are, like, unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... And when she talks to people, she's like, he says no one will understand me. I get him. I know what he's going through. And they're, like, swapping what could be clues to a murder, and they're doing it on the down low because the cops gave up 20 years ago. It's fucked up, but it's a great book. It's I'll Be Gone in the Dark, and I think her name is Michelle McNamara. What a... It's going to take you a long time. If you're like me, it's going to take you a long time to read it, because... And it goes perfectly with that Mindhunter book and TV show that we're reading, because they did profiles a bunch of different times without knowing they were chasing one man.
The same person, right?
So there's like five or six different profiles that all kind of come together. It's creepy.
Crazy. Well, the only obsession that I have, and it really was as recently as yesterday, was watching people wake up on the internet yesterday after everything happened with the summit and Rachel's show last night.
Fantastic.
And then reading all the comments about all the people who were like, well, who knew that she was telling this story? Who knew she's been following this? And I was just, I read and read and read and read all these people who were like,
the Russia angle.
Who would have known that all these, you know, these investigative stories that she's been following and all this stuff? I just like, why haven't you been paying attention?
Our boyfriend knows.
That you brought this up, Clayton.
It just was astounding to me. So I just had to read all that.
Because do you remember months ago, and she, sometimes this was in the second half of the show, when she does a little weird story, and she did that little weird story about why is there this gun rights people in Russia thing?
Right, right.
And now everyone's like, oh, Rachel Maddow and her crazy bullshit. Right. You know? Now, and when that came out last night, arrested. I was watching it. I thought, oh my God.
Oh, and that was the other thing that I loved.
She's smarter than everybody.
Well, all this was going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's two things you need. Two things you need to know about what happened.
Exactly.
And when, yeah, no, I know. But when she, you know, the whole thing about the Manafort speeding this shit up. And then she's like, oh, and this redhead bitch got arrested.
Yes.
Yeah. On the down low.
But we knew that story already because we watched.
Right.
Yeah.
And then a picture surfaced of her. Possibly her in the Oval.
Yes.
And I was like...
And she asked him that question.
Oh, my God.
Nicole Wallace covered it today.
Oh, I didn't have time
to
watch.
She asked him a question in a thing. He called on her as a reporter, and she asked him a question. The shit's going to go down for that.
But again, it was just... yeah. I love the fact that people are just like... We've obviously been a little hypersensitive to Rachel Maddow because I love him. But the whole thing, people were just like astounded that this woman who...
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not new.
It's not new at all.
I had to change my Facebook settings. I had been letting everything that I'd been posting go public for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled it back because last week I actually posted, because last Friday, Rachel wasn't on because Richard Engel had his
show. He does Fridays in the summer.
Right. So she's off on the Friday. So I just made a post. It's a shame that all the big news that happened today and no Rachel tonight, hashtag Maddow, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody put in, thank God there's no Maddow tonight.
Oh, God, I'd murder them.
I deleted that comment, and I put them in a special thing that I'm like, no, we're just not going to... I know. Because I'm not in the mood to start fighting with you about this. I know this is right. I know where this is going. And also, I find it interesting. I don't know if anybody else has caught this on the Facebooks, and I realize not everybody is into it. I know you've been backing out of it a little bit. It's funny how much quieter that site has gotten recently with the everything that's surfacing.
Right.
They're getting a lot quieter.
Yes.
They've also changed the algorithm. I saw
a meme today that was like, isn't it interesting that all the Trump supporters shut the fuck up today? Because there's nothing, they can't say anything. There's nothing to talk about.
They dramatically changed their algorithm too. Yeah.
Well, you don't have the trending news anymore.
Right. And if you watch, you see a lot more sponsored content.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to get organic things through. They are really shutting down the circulation of memes and that circulated bullshit from both sides.
Right.
Which is why you're seeing more of that, like, two videos posted together that make one meme.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting around the algorithm, because Facebook is shutting all this shit down.
You're seeing more from your friends.
Right. So, well, no, I'm actually seeing less from my friends. I'm seeing more sponsored contact and, like, four people.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Like, I get four people.
No, that's what I mean. I'm seeing this. I'm not seeing as many of them. I'm seeing the same people in my feed now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because
what they've done,
not the diversity.
If you use the app versus going to the website.
Mm-hmm.
If you use the app versus going to the website, it's a whole different animal. The app uses the algorithm. If you go to the actual website, facebook.com, and hit most recent stories.
Tell me that again so I can write it down.
No, but the people go to the app.
Right,
no
and you one... can you can change it to most recent stories and see mm-hmm. things in a chronological way online.
But it also doesn't, on the Facebook.com, it doesn't filter anyone out. You see everyone chronologically that you're friends with post. There's no filter used. Mm-hmm. The filter is used in the apps.
Yeah.
So what I see, that's why I don't use Facebook on my phone anymore, because I see the same five people and things. Yeah, I go to the...
That's what I'm seeing.
I'm always on the site.
Of, just out of hospital and computer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
I've decided there's nothing there for me anymore. I'm over it. I got nothing. I get notifications for the things that I really need to see.
Right.
And that's
so
it.
My obsession continues to be Matt Owl. And yeah, then we're going to move
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Mr. Matt Owl.
All right, boys and girls, it's time. My God, it's an hour and a half. We're into the first... This is our first segment. This is the end of hour one. It's our tease to headlines, and it goes like this. Sisters running in the opposite directions.
Advanced rock, paper, scissors.
Doug's got nothing. Ow.
Oh, I have all.
Oh, Doug, go.
Cutting the crap. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's covered in condoms.
On the world of coffee.
Runaway dog gets a mugshot.
A dramatic reading.
Nothing else?
Cutting the crap on the world's most expensive coffee. Just for Al.
MGM Resort sues people.
And bike versus drawbridge does not end well.
It barely does.
No, really.
It's a good thing we don't rehearse.
Oh, we'll be back right after this. It's Q Talk America.
David!
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Educates, syncopates.